Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Türk Telekom 2013 Q3 results conference. This time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star one on your telephone. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Onur Öz. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Türk Telekom 2013 third quarter results call. Before we start, may I please remind you to read the notice on the second page of the presentation. Now, I would like to hand the call over to Mr. Hakan Kanafani, Türk Telekom Group CEO, to start our presentation today.
Thank you, Onur. Hello, everybody. Good to be with you again. Time flies. It seems to me we've done this only last week. It's amazing how time flies, but good to be here again. Let me start with slide five and just point our key financial and operational highlights of this quarter. In the third quarter of 2013, we've carried on growing. We reached 5% year-on-year growth rate in our consolidated revenues, and this is both coming from fixed and mobile businesses. Our fixed line business delivered a 5% year-on-year growth. It is a significant achievement to grow a fixed line business in this day, despite the challenges we are facing in fixed voice and PSTN. The whole market is facing in fixed voice and PSTN. So we were able to deliver this growth by focusing on broadband, corporate data, ICT businesses, and continuing to defend fixed voice business with innovative value proposition to our customers. Our broadband continues its high single-digit growth with 8% year-on-year rate, and a significant part of this growth came from a solid 71,000 net subscriber additions in the quarter, as well as we had healthy ARPU growth year-on-year. And here it's important to stress that the subscriber traction we have, that if we exclude the locum phase out that is in progress, our net adds are almost 90,000, and the locum effect is becoming smaller and smaller. The strong revenue growth trend continued this quarter in our mobile business, and despite the MTR cuts that the regulator introduced, we grew our revenues 7% year-on-year. Mobile business continued its performance with very strong KPIs, with 224,000 net subscribers additions. Erkan, in a little while, will give you a little bit more detail on the mobile. Adverse foreign exchange rate conditions affected our net income this quarter and led us to write unrealized FX loss. Despite this effect, we closed the quarter with 236 million lira of net profit. Now, if we go to slide six, please. We have the financial summary of our consolidated businesses. In line with our full year guidance, 5%-7% annual growth rate, as mentioned in the highlights, our group revenues increased by 5% in the third quarter to 3.4 billion lira. This growth is mainly driven by solid performances in broadband, mobile, corporate data, and ICT businesses, as we have stated. Quarterly EBITDA slightly increased to 1.31 billion lira year-on-year. We are on track to reach our full year EBITDA guidance. In order to achieve this, in addition to our focus on top line growth, we will continue our quest for leaner operations through OpEx control initiatives. As for net income, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the headline is the appreciation of the USD and euro in the third quarter, and as a result, we recorded an unrealized loss of about 500 million Turkish lira in the period. Finally, let's move on to page seven, please. We will talk about the transformation of our business towards growing business lines. The share of fixed voice business revenue declined from 40% levels 3 years ago to 26% in the first 9 months of 2013. The share of our mobile and broad businesses revenues is 55%, while their combined growth rate is sustained in the first 9 months of 2013 at 12% year-on-year. As a result, in the past 3 years, we not only grew our business at an average of 7.5% annual rate, but we also grew our absolute EBITDA in the same period. We think this is quite significant to be going through such a major change and managing it with uninterrupted value generation. The fact that our broadband and mobile businesses are growing at double-digit rates is a trend we would like to sustain. On the broadband side, the revenue stream potential stems not only from relatively low penetration levels of traditional broadband services and bundled choices, but also through increasing usage of broadband in alternative means like smart home, machine-to-machine, corporate and public sector connectivity. On the mobile side, again, relatively low penetration levels and a growing market, increasing data consumption. We are doing a lot of postpaid additions to our customer base, and our cutting-edge competitiveness are among our drivers for growth. It's very important for us due to the fact that we continue to generate significant amount of cash from it. The fixed voice business makes up only 26% of our total revenues, and we think it's a good trend to have our dependence on fixed voice decline significantly while introducing in the fixed segment new ideas, new projects, and new revenue streams. With this, I would like to hand the call over to Turk Telecom CEO Tahsin Yilmaz for a fixed line business update, and I'll be with you again in the Q&A session. Thank you, Tahsin. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Hakan. Good afternoon, everybody. On the fixed line business, we maintain our growth in the third quarter. Revenue increase was robust with 5% year-over-year growth and reached 2.5 billion liras in the quarter. Broadband, corporate data services, and ICT businesses were the main growth drivers. While we continued our focus on the businesses that are having growth potential, we also kept our strong effort to limit the decline in fixed voice business. As a result, the overall picture in our fixed line segment came to forefront with a growing business and sustained progress. Let me now take you through some details. Starting with slide 9, here we have highlights of our broadband business. As one of our leading businesses, high-speed broadband business continued its strong growth in Q3 2013. Our broadband revenues reached 836 million liras in the third quarter of this year with an 8% year-over-year increase. Accordingly, this segment continued to constitute a significant portion of our overall business, comprising 25% of Türk Telekom Group revenues in Q3 2013. The increase in subscriber number and ARPU were the main drivers of the broadband year-on-year revenue growth. After a seasonally weak second quarter, net additions in broadband subscribers bounced back in Q3 2013, and we recorded 71,000 net additions. If we exclude the phasing out of locum subscribers, net broadband subscriber addition in the third quarter reaches 90,000 levels. On the ARPU front, the growth was 6% year-over-year, and I'll give you more details of what drives this in the upcoming slides. Moving on to slide 10, I'll provide you with the recent highlights of our fiber network. As the undisputed leader of fiber connectivity in Turkey, Türk Telekom continues its fiber expansion in the third quarter of 2013. As of the third quarter, total length of our fiber optic network in Turkey reached 174,000 kilometers, existing in all 81 provinces of Turkey. Our fiber to the home and fiber to the curb home pass numbers are now at 2.3 and 5.4 million respectively. The appetite for higher speed broadband is undoubtedly persistent and supports the fiber take-up. The consumption trend, coupled with our high quality service levels and unmatched value-added services such as TTNet Music and TV packages, leads to upsells into fiber packages. We recorded 156% year-over-year increase in fiber subscriptions, and our fiber customers reached 446,000 as of Q3. On slide 11, we look at the positive evolution of fixed broadband usage and upselling details. On the left side of the page, we see that the level of unlimited quota subscribers reached 82% of our total base. Remember that this was 68% a year ago. The tendency is increasingly towards unlimited packages as the customers become more acquainted with the services offered within broadband. Our ISP arm, TTNet, is very vigilant on delighting the customers with attractive bundles and campaigns and paving the way for further upsells. In addition to our superior broadband services due to our comprehensive network, we continue attaching value-added services such as TTNet Music, eBook, Net Store, and our education product Vitamin. On the top right chart, you can see the trend in broadband monthly data usage in our network. Average usage is 33 gigabytes as of September 2013, mainly driven by increasing video consumption. In terms of speed, TTNet's up to 8 megabits per second and higher speed packages are now 94% of total subscribers. We are happy to see that our upsell efforts pay off in the form of higher customer satisfaction as well as increased ARPU on broadband side. On page 12, we review another bright spot in our fixed line business, which is corporate data. Long aware of this segment's importance for our business, we have restructured the company from a functional standpoint last year. We moved away from departments like marketing, sales, customer service, and grouped all these functions under customer segments. With this reorganization, we now have corporate and consumer businesses through which we oversee the stages that our customers go through from one center per customer segment. This reorg, coupled with our sharp refocus on corporate and public sector customers' needs and our drive to develop customized solutions for them, paid off. We have grown our corporate data business 14% year-on-year in the third quarter and reached 263 million liras. Through products like Metro Ethernet, TTVPN, Lease Lines, and other custom products, we provide cost-efficient, flexible, and safe high-speed connectivity for our corporate and public sector customers. We strive to be their technology partners and take an important part in their growth and efficiency. Corporate data revenues now make up 10% of our fixed line revenues, and we aim to grow it even more. Moving on to page 13, we have highlights of our fixed voice business. In the third quarter, we continue to design proactive and reactive offers to manage churn. Remember, in the second quarter, we initiated a campaign giving free minutes to all directions, including mobile. After the expiration of this successful limited time offer, we provided our customers with a new all directions minute package that they can add onto their current tariff. We aim to stimulate home phone usage by increasing the number of minutes and directions our subscribers can call. At the same time, we continue our brand partnership programs and joint offers with our group companies, which help retain our customers. With the positive effect of these retention actions, as well as the increasing subscriber base in NAIC DSL and WLR, we partially offset the PSTN churn and decelerated the total access line loss in the third quarter. Our number of total access lines stand at 13.73 million as of Q3 2013. ARPU slightly declined year-over-year, mainly due to dilutive effect of wholesale line rental, yet remained flat quarter-over-quarter. On the right side of the slide, you see a significant portion of our fixed voice revenues are recurring with 75%, which is a solid indicator of our success in stabilizing our revenue stream. This was a brief summary of fixed line business performance. Now I will hand the call over to our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Erkan Akdemir. Thank you.
Thank you, Tahsin. Good afternoon, everybody. As you all know, in the first quarter and partially in the second quarter of this year, we witnessed intense competition in the mobile market. Starting with the second quarter, market conditions eased off, and this environment also continued in most part of within the third quarter. In Q3, regulator decided to reduce voice and SMS termination rates, and despite the MTR cuts of 20% on voice call and 75% on the SMS, as Avaya, we delivered a strong performance and once again grew our revenues and improved our profitability. Let me take you through the numbers. Starting with slide 15, we continue to deliver strong growth in both revenue and EBITDA in Q3. If it wasn't for the MTR cuts, this would have been another high teens growth quarter for Avea. But despite the cuts, we still grew our revenue 7% and reached 973 million Turkish liras. Our EBITDA has also proven strong in the third quarter with an increase of 36% year-on-year. Our EBITDA margin increased to 18% from 13% in the previous quarter and 14% from a year ago. The effect of MTR cut on the EBITDA was flat. Strong subscriber base growth and robust mobile data increase were the primary drivers of the revenue increase, as well as the enhanced profitability. Roaming revenues also had a higher contribution to our revenues due to seasonality. Moving on to slide 16, Avea resumed its subscriber base growth with a 224,000 net addition and reached 14.1 million. The growth came from both postpaid and prepaid segment. This ensured that we retained the best subscriber mix in the market with a 44% postpaid subscriber ratio. Strong base mix was also supported by a prepaid to postpaid switch in Q3. It is also significant that despite a prepaid market that has been declining in the first half of the year, Avea was able to grow prepaid subs 7% year-on-year in Q3. Our ARPU, which is the highest in the market as of the second quarter, slightly declined to 22.5 from the previous quarter, driven by the MTR cuts. Increased voice usage, as well as data uptake, led by the Avea's market-leading smartphone penetration, are the key points to push ARPU up. However, the effect of the MTR cut limited the growth in ARPU this quarter, and our blended ARPU remained flat year over year. And our MOU reached 375 with a 7% year-on-year increase. On slide 17, we have highlights on the MNP trends. Avea has been the most successful operator in mobile number portability net gains in the past 2 years, and we continue to be so in the second quarter of the year. In the third quarter, we achieved another 133,000 net ports, which brings us to more 600,000 year-to-date, what makes Avea the most preferred operator in the market among MNP customers is its wide selection of tariffs, device that are customized to fit our subscriber needs, as well as its attractive value proposition. Moving on to slide 18, mobile data is another area of our business where we see the strong take-up. As Avea, we are the best situation to capitalize on this trend with our most appealing brand image amongst the youth, highest postpaid ratio, and the highest smartphone penetration. In the third quarter, we grew our mobile data revenue 44% year-on-year, and share of mobile data and database value-added services reached 20% of our total service revenues. On this front, we introduced new packages addressing different customer segments and lifestyles and backed these offers with affordable smart devices. In turn, the increase in smartphone and tablet usage within our customer base triggered the mobile data consumption. We grew smartphone and tablet users within our base 41% year-on-year in the third quarter. Moving on to page 19, Avea is the smartphone penetration leader of the market for the last 8 quarters. As of second quarter of this year, smartphone penetration average of the market was around 25%, while Avea has outperformed this with 30%. This quarter, our smartphone penetration surged to a new high and reached to 33%. Innovative data and voice packages and Avea's own-branded smartphone in touch too, with its unprecedented quality and very attractive price compared to the other smartphones in the market, led the increased usage of the smartphones within our customer base. And of course, it helps the most popular operator among the youth segment, as well as having the highest postpaid subs in the mix with 44%. As summary, Avea has been growing in a smart way and it pays off for us. We will continue to implement this strategy and strive for attracting more customers with our quality network, wide variety of tariffs and devices, innovative offers, best-in-class customer service, and close collaboration with Türk Telekom Group companies. Thank you all. Now I will now hand it over to Erhan for an overview of the financials.
Thank you very much, Hakan Bey. Erhan Merdanoğlu, Citigroup Finance Director. I will take the financial section of the presentation. I want to mention that all financial figures are in Turkish lira, except otherwise stated. Starting with the page 21, we have quick highlights of the quarterly consolidated income statement. Türk Telekom Group achieved a 5% year-over-year growth in the third quarter. This growth rate is in line with our guidance for the full-year revenue growth. Compared to Q2, 2013, group revenue increased 1%, sustaining the overall growth trend. Quarterly EBITDA is over 1.3 billion. Group EBITDA slightly increased year over year and up by 4% compared to the previous quarter. Please note that we had around 17 million one-off expense related to the personal incentive program in the third quarter of the 2013. Overall, EBITDA and EBIT margins improved in Q3 compared to Q2. Under EBITDA level, 553 million net financial expense was recorded mostly due to the depreciation of the TL against US dollar and euro in Q3. As a result, quarterly net income decreased by 63% year over year to 236 million in Q3. Moving on to page 22, we have group summary balance sheet. On the asset side, intangible assets increased by 479 million compared to the Q3 2012. This increase is mostly due to the IFRIC 12 investments. Other assets increased by 680 million compared to the last year. This figure includes 475 million increase in the trade receivables. Compared to last year, cash position improved by 129 million in Q3 2013. On the liability side, interest-bearing liabilities increased by 2 billion in the third quarter compared to the last year. We will talk about our debt profile in the following slides, but this increase is a result of the increase in FX debt, partly driven by TL's depreciation and the decrease in the TL debt. Provision for long-term employee benefits decreased by 52 million year-over-year in Q3, thanks to our successful personal incentive program. Going to page 23, we have cash flow details. Operating activities provided 1.2 billion cash in Q3 2013. Cash flow from operation decreased 1% year-over-year. Investing activities caused net 518 million cash outflow in the quarter. Net cash used in financing activities are at similar levels in Q3 2012 and Q3 2013. Overall, net change in cash position is an increase of 195 million. The next page is 24, where we have our consolidated revenue breakdown. Much of this has been already covered in the earlier pages, but I'd like to provide some additional highlights here. On a year-over-year basis, we had 5% fixed-line revenue growth and 7% mobile revenue growth in Q3 2013. Our growth engines in the fixed-line segment, broadband and the corporate data services, continued their strong performance, recording 8% and 14% year-over-year revenue increases respectively in the third quarter. Mobile revenue continues its strong growth, driven by higher data and outgoing call revenues. As a result, we have 36% year-over-year increase in mobile absolute EBITDA, which is very important for us. Mobile EBITDA margin continues to improve. There is a sizable increase in other revenues driven by group information and the technology company revenues coming from the education-related projects. Moving on to the next slide, page 25, we show OPEX at the consolidated level. Personal expenses are 7% year over year. As you know, we started a personal retirement incentive program in the first quarter, and this will have a positive impact on overall personal costs in the medium term. One-time cost, $70 million, is recorded in the Q3 for personal incentive program. Commercial expenses declined 2% year-over-year to $233 million in the third quarter. Main reason are lower advertising marketing expenses and the lower promotion expenses year-over-year. Cost of equipment and the technology sales include devices, modems, and software, etc. These come with their corresponding revenue. Moving on to page 30, we have debt profile details. So there is no change in the overall funding strategy. The long-term debt is financed through the FX debt, mainly US dollar and euro. Average maturity of the FX debt is 2.2 years. As of Q3 2013, group net debt is 7.3 billion Turkish lira. The increase in the net debt to EBITDA in Q3 is partly because of the depreciation of TL. However, current leverage is still at the comfortable levels with 1.46. With that, I complete the financial section and I hand over to the operator to open it for Q&A part.
Thank you. So as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And if you wish to cancel your request, you can press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Sam Dillon. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Three questions, if I may. Firstly, you say that fixed voice makes up 26% of revenues. How much does that make up of EBITDA? Secondly, for an average subscriber moving to fiber from ADSL, what level of ARPU uplift are you currently seeing? I know it's early days. And finally, in the corporate segment, will you start to leverage your fixed line relationships in order to try and improve your mobile market share in this segment? Thank you.
Okay, can you? I'll answer the third question, and then please repeat the second question. And for the first question, we don't give out that. So on the third question, we don't have, for corporate, we have communication, unified communication. We look at a lot of fiber VPN, cloud services, connecting retail outlets. These are the, you know, security issues, value-added services, consulting services. These are the issues that we look at the corporate client, and that includes the three levels of business, you know, fixed, broadband, and mobile. So we don't really differentiate in that. We definitely leverage mobility and broadband to enhance the what we are doing to the corporate, because no corporate now, you know, looks for a telecommunication solution without the three sort of the three sides of the triangle. So if you go to a corporate and you say, and you're talking about just giving away SIM cards and making them speak for free, to us that's not really a corporate subscriber. And if you call them SMEs or you call them whatever else, we don't think that this is very value accretive. Can you kindly repeat your second question?
Sure. The second question was around the average broadband subscriber moving from an ADSL product to a fiber product. I think you have 446,000 fiber subscribers. I'm just trying to understand what level of ARPU uplift you're seeing for that average subscriber moving from ADSL to fiber.
Okay. On the prices, they're a little bit more expensive than our regular price. And we can tell you that's how much what we can tell you. But look, there's a misconception about fiber, that fiber is, it's a product you create and you sell, and it's a product on its own. Fiber is a product on its own, yes. But the most important thing about fiber are two elements. the value-added services that you can add on it. So I can tell you that the ARPU is higher because when they reach the fiber, we can add more value-added services. So our TV Boo, which reached about 1.25 million paying subscribers today and growing, is easier to upgrade. It's easier to give them that. And a lot of the value-added services from cloud services, from they can get much bigger chunks on our TTNet music. So that's what fiber does to you. It enables you to unlock the potential of your network and broadband. So it's not only that I connected a fiber subscriber, I can also add a lot of value-added services to them. And that's what TTNet does very well. And that's because they have a solid network built by TT for them. So it's a combination of that we are seeking. The other element of fiber, it's a preparation for 4G, because the suppliers always say that 4G doesn't cost much. We beg to differ, because if you don't have a fiber network, a strong fiber network, on your access side, 4G doesn't work. It's just you know, as good as 3G. So the high latency that you see is very important to get rid of, that you see in a lot of networks is very important to get rid of. So that's how we look at fiber. Fiber is the future on access and the future of value-added services. So it's not only a product per se, and that's how we would look at it. But overall, the answer to your question is that our prices are higher on fiber, and number two, we can upgrade on a lot of elements in fiber, so it opens the door and unleashes potential.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for your questions.
Your next question comes from the line of Fatinj Ozkan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions, actually. The first one is related to your recent or past offer to acquire Digiturk. Today we have seen some news regarding the extension of Digiturk's football broadcasting rights until the end of the 2016-17 season. So my first question is, how does that impact your interest vis-a-vis Digiturk, and how important is to get killer content for your upselling efforts on the broadband side? And my second question is regarding your public disclosure late yesterday concerning the $1 billion planned bond and sukuk issue. Is there any chance, if you whether you could share how much of that could be in Turkish lira, and whether that could be a remedy to your short FX position? Thank you.
Okay, good questions. The first one, I think the news that you mentioned, it's actually a little while back, and it's still we don't know what's going to happen the next 3 years. I can tell you about Digiturk is that we have put a fair value from our side based on that we did not enter the data room at what we see the value is. It's very important to us that the value that we do not overpay. It's an important component to us that will enhance and add more scale to our entertainment slash TV play. However, it is not a must do for us. So there are so many other options. There's nothing that, no developments on this. They have the offer. I think they are entertaining other offers. And we have our plans either, we have our plan either to go with or to go without. I don't know if you're talking about a particular news that was on today, or this is the news about Digiturk, because I haven't heard anything. Or are you talking about the news of a few months later that they've extended for 1 year?
There has been a press release by Digiturk itself about the extension of their football broadcasting rights late this afternoon. I was referring to that.
Okay, to 2016-20. Yeah, we're looking at it. I have no comment on this press release. I mean, it's a press release, but I have no comment about it. But that's our position with press release or with or without the press release.
Okay, thank you very much. it has been helpful. Can I get
another? Yeah, for the bond. It will enable us to increase the average maturity of our debt stock, provide us potentially cheaper cost of funding alternative. Your question is basically is about the Turkish lira, right?
Yes.
What was your question again?
Yeah, I was just trying to get some color whether some part of that potential bond issue could be in TL, because I think I have seen a detail regarding that in your press release.
It will depend on the marketing of on the market conditions. So depend when we issue on the marketing conditions where we can make the decision on the variance of that.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Kazbegi. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Well, I guess my first question probably you already answered in the sense that I was also wondering, so to say, in light of the FX losses, whether your future funding strategy in terms of relying on the Forex is going to change, but presumably it will really depend on the rate differential, which I guess you just gave the answer, if you could confirm that again. And the other two questions would be, in general, I mean, where do you see the mobile EBITDA margin, so to say, going in the medium term? If, again, of course, it all depends on the market conditions and so on and so forth, but do you see it going, so to say, above 20% sometime within next year, let's say, or what's your, so to say, rough guess where do you see the mobile margin going? And the last one is that when you look at your fiber subscribers, FTTH subscribers, how many of them are genuinely new subscribers, not in the addition, so to say, but overall, so to say, in your 500,000 subscriber base? How many of them have been, so to say, genuinely new, and how many of them have been recycled, so to say, from the other offers you already had? If you could share that information. Thank you very much.
Okay, number three, I think it's a mix where, you know, between new and an upgrade. And I think both components of the mix are important to us. One comes at a little bit lower price if you upgrade, lower cost to us, and the other is new. But you know, it's a mix, and we don't value one better than the other. Usually, the fiber comes after a certain journey you go through. For some people, it's a short journey. For some people, it's a long journey. You know, you start with your ABC, 3G, and then you move on to a little bit of more Wi-Fi, and as you develop in the internet, you upgrade your speed until you reach the fiber. So it's a mix. I don't think there is anything that's close to that is new to the market, a fiber subscriber, because that's usually what happens. But as we improve as we expand our fiber network, we can get to a stage where we can go to areas where fiber is new and they connect to it directly. And right now it's a mix. For question number two, the margin. We don't give out our margin expectation of Avaya, but I can tell you that Avaya is doing a super job. We, on every level, whether it's market share, revenue market share, we are gaining. We have invested in exactly the right places. Remember, we're one of the very few companies that third operators who have the highest blended ARPU. So we've invested in the right place, and we're reaping the investments now. We have the highest percentage of data amongst our revenue. We have the highest percentage of smartphones. Avaya is playing the game right, and they are aggressive when they need to be aggressive. They're defensive when they need to be defensive, and they know which wars to conquer and which wars to start. So we're very happy with what they are doing, and you can see the results, and the results are improving year on year. So it shows you that the economies of scale are also racking up in favor of Avaya. We are bullish on Avaya, and we think that Avaya is going to definitely be one of the leaders of the growth potential in the upcoming 2 or 3 years. Now, having said this, you have to know that all of the market is, we have a market story here. Remember that the incumbent who has maybe three times as many subscribers is also at a low margin. So the whole market and the international challenger who comes at certain economies of scale and costing is also at a little bit depressed EBITDA margins. So this is a question for the whole market. So Avaya is doing very good job in improving there, but I think this is the upside story, which is in Avaya, is that if we get a lift in that market in terms of the potential growth of it and the EBITDA margins for all, I think Avaya is going to benefit more than any player in the market. And we've reached to the point where we are comfortable and we want to look for bigger and better next year. Now, for the FX debt, remember, this is unrealized loss. We are going from one year to the other, sometimes loss and sometimes we gain. So in the long term, we think that this is the best place to be in this combination. Now, when we see a good priced Turkish lira debt at decent levels of maturity, we jump on it and we take it. There is absolutely no discussion there. But it's not here yet, the maturity rates or the price. So we think in the long term, we are really at the right combination. In addition, we decided to tap the debt capital markets, provided that the conditions remain positive, which should enable us to diversify our funding resources and increase the average maturity of our debt stock, which is really, we've done, the team has done a brilliant job in that, in increasing the maturity of the debt. Thanks for your questions.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you want to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone. And your next question comes from the line of Herve Drouet. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions on my side. First one, in your OPEX in fixed line, I mean, there has been quite a significant increase in cost of equipment in fixed line. I was wondering if you can tell us, I mean, what type of equipment, you know, has increased from your side. I mean, is it equipment coming with your fiber rollout? Is it modems? What may have explained a bit of the pressure on the margins from the fixed line business. And the second question is on ICT and this segment, which is growing relatively fast for you. I was wondering if you can tell us where the margin are on the ICT business currently. Thank you.
Okay, for the first question, the equipment are actually it's not only hardware. There's a lot of software and value-added services that a lot of software and equipment for the projects that we are doing. We're doing a lot of PPP projects, private public partnership projects, and also private partnership projects. So as that increases, this increases too. Now, in terms of the margins, we cannot give specific margins on the different lines, but I think it's important that we diversify and get more revenue out of these projects. So, depending on project, there are some projects that can bring us a little bit higher margin and some lower. But overall, on the ICT projects, they're not high margin projects.
All right. Okay. And will you think the ICT margins will be above 25%?
I can't give you a number, but look, these are things that really open the door. They open the door with the relationship to good try, by the way. These are projects that open the door for customers that you can never touch with just PSTN. These are customers that you are upgrading their lifestyle in terms of the internet, whether they are children at school or at healthcare or at banking, And it just opened the door for bigger relationship and adding value-added services. And that's our strategy to go into that field. But that's important for us. And as we get more skilled at it, and as we become good at it, and manage to attract these verticals to us, I think there will be a lot of improvement there.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Hervé.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Thibault Bocor. Please go ahead.
Hi. My first question on the cost, if you could shed some light on the personal costs, were any one-offs in the third quarter, and what should we expect in the fourth quarter? Could you remind me how you book potential bonuses? Is it impacting your fourth quarter or first quarter next year? Thank you.
Hi, Tibor, this is Onur. The personnel cost we have incurred in the third quarter is 17 million, and we also stated it as a one-off in our financials. We say it's one-off because it's related to the incentive amounts that we give to our personnel, and this is actually a positive thing for us because our personnel, these are the people who retire voluntarily from the company, so we will benefit in the future periods because of this. What was the other part of your question?
Sort of the seasonality of the personal costs going forward, specifically, what should we expect in the fourth quarter on this cost line?
Okay, this is our CFO, Murat.
So the bonuses of our key personnel is regularly accrued every month. Therefore, there is no one-offs or jumps due to the bonus.
Okay. That's clear. Thank you very much, Asia. And if we talk about cash flow, two questions on CapEx and working capital. My understanding is that working capital improved in the third quarter. Can you explain where it came from and whether it's sustainable or we should expect some reversal going forward? And on CapEx, it would be helpful to understand a little bit where the CapEx is going. I assume it's going mostly to the fixed line. We are at the situation of relatively high CapEx to sales, and how long this situation can last, in your opinion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tibor. I'll answer the second question, and then your first question, Murat, TTCFO, will take that. On the second question, we are doing, I think, a very good job with CapEx. You know that how we are, because our mesh and our architecture and our ducting and cables allows it, which is a very unique items and unique capabilities in the fixed incumbent world, we are able to swap copper for fiber. So we pull the copper out, and we put in the fiber. So it's basically a natural sort of subsidy on our CapEx. And we've been doing this for almost 2 years now, maybe a year and a few months, and we're becoming very good at it. We have good relation. We're hedging the price of copper. So it's a very unique experience. I think it's a case study. So that's good. And this shows you that our CapEx has actually declined from last year, where we have guided to 2.4. We came, I think, at 2.45. This year we're guiding at 2.2, and we're sticking to the guidance. We believe that our CapEx is one of the key elements where it's a safe investment with Turk Telecom because we are managing the CapEx, and we think that the CapEx will be on a trend of steady decline. Now, on how we divide it, we won't tell. We can't give you, but we're also have a good investment of CapEx in Avaya and in our information technology. So there are three elements, the fixed element, the mobile element, and information technology and value-added services and software, and all of these three are important components. Last year, we have doubled our 3G masts in Avaya. This is an extremely difficult task, great achievement. because if you add the optimization to it and you see how this was done and how it helped our brand equity, it helped our brand positioning with higher ARPU subscribers and more affinity to the brand, I think this has done this has been fantastic for us, and you can see the elements there. So the CapEx has been, I think, managed very well. For your first question, Murat, CFO of TT, will take the question.
So the Q3 financials, the cash flows were pretty strong, but it is a normal phenomenon for Q3. It's when we have the CapEx rolled out but not paid. Usually in our business, Q1 is a stress quarter because we have the payments of the CapEx. But this year in third quarter also we have a positive effect of the lower tax payments because of the unrealized FX losses.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tibor.
And your next question comes from the line of Doria Fomina. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have two questions. First one is, again, on ICT and device sales, which together is the fourth largest line in your fixed line revenues. Could you please elaborate on what growth potential you see there, just trying to understand how high that can go? And the second question is on the cross-selling in your fixed line segment as well. What is the percentage of your customers that take more than one service from you? I mean, not only voice, but data, and not only broadband, but pay TV as well, just trying to understand what potential to upsell the services you still have on your subscriber base.
Okay, second question, and then Murat, CFO TT, will take your first question. On the second question, these percentages are increasing, and these percentages are helping us, and we are doing it in a smart, we call it smart bundling, where the lower margin items are protecting the higher margin items. A lot of incumbents historically have been doing the opposite, and that has created value decline. So we are doing it the smart way, and we don't believe that bundling on its own helps the value. It helps in retention, but in the value sometimes it drops the value. So we do it a little bit differently. We're very smart about it. But we do a lot of upselling and cross-selling. And these are the two elements that we believe have protected our value compared to other fixed incumbents around the world. So this is sort of the trick that we are focusing on. So now if we go to any of our stores, you can buy any product. The teams are being incentivized to cross-sell, and especially with TTNet, there's a lot of upselling that's going on. So when there is smart bundling, you've seen that Avaya has done a fantastic job in bringing, and with TT, if you have the fixed line, you get one of the most highest value mobile and SIM cards. So all of these things we are doing in a smart way. But what I can tell you is that the percentages are growing and the retention is becoming more effective and more efficient. Now for your first question, Murat is going to take that.
So the device sales, I mean corporate data revenues and all other services are also have a bundled CP part and portion. And these are recorded in our other line, which are the growing in terms of revenues, but also costs, and they have a very low margin as Hakan Bey had stated. The cost increase is around 80-85 million compared to last year same quarter, while the revenues also grow above that around 91 million.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks Doria.
And once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. And your next question comes from the line of Veda Sadeja. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions, please. First, on the LTE, can you perhaps tell us how is it going? When is LTE going to start in Turkey, or when is the prospective spectrum going to be auctioned? Just on a rough idea when it's coming. The second question related to your guidance. The guidance for the EBITDA is maintained, although in your 9 months performance in terms of EBITDA is still behind. So if I assume correctly, then you would have to increase your EBITDA by 15% in the fourth quarter. You mentioned some of the potential OPEX saving. Maybe you can elaborate on that, so how you could achieve a 15% EBITDA growth in the fourth quarter to achieve your guidance, or any of key initiatives that you would be doing or you are doing at the moment, please.
Let me take the I'll take the second question. The second question first. Yes, we are sticking by the guidance. We have a whole program that we have been looking at to improve the EBITDA, but also we've been doing it so not to hurt the midterm and the long term. And if there is an opportunity to invest, like the personnel cost incentives, like some of the OPEX that will come from a bit of software or value-added services improvements, we have to let it go. So we're smart about that way. So we're only looking at the fat and not the muscles. But overall, you know, bad debt reduction, personnel incentive effect, you know, all of these things are going to help. But all I can tell you in that domain is that we are doing the best we can. It is this is a difficult business that we are in. But I believe, and I'm sure we have the best management team, world class, and they are taking the challenge on, and we're going to do the best we can. But we are comfortable to say that we are going to stick to the EBITDA guidance. Now, for the first question, I would like to give it to Erkan. He's the CEO of Abeya. Erkan Akdemir. Erkan, please.
Hi. For the question regarding for the LTE, we don't have any idea or any action regarding the LT strategy or the LT timeline. However, I can only refer to the minister who is responsible for the overall telecom and, of course, the upcoming the LT strategy. So he's saying that end of next year they may go for the LT licensing. And also, he expressed the view of the one network for the whole country. So we believe that this new strategy regarding the one network is the efficient way of for the service delivering for the LTE or the LTE Advanced.
So if I understand correctly, 2014, end of next year, we will hear more about the strategy of the LTE from Avea, or did I not understand that correctly?
Erkan is saying that the minister has given some guidance. Of course, this is something that the ministry and the regulator are going to take care of. So we cannot confirm any of these timings. Now, on our strategy, we want to do what exactly has value. So we're not inclined to do one thing or the other. We have the best access network. We're investing in our fiber access. We have the best value-added services and TV entertainment gaming potential. So 4G will become very seamless to us, and we are sure very easy to invest. But there are big question marks today. I mean, we are in the telco world. We need to think of questions of countries that have 3 or 4G networks. Are they going to have another 3 or 4 4G networks? How much is the capex? How much is the investment? We really believe that companies need to think of sharing networks and sharing these capacities. We cannot be supplier-driven, especially in cases where 3G, in different cases around the world, where 3G has not yet delivered the return on asset or return on investment that is required. So these are all questions, and we advocate this smart way of looking at it, and especially in smaller countries. So these are all questions, and the minister and the regulator have discussed that and have given their opinion. But we go by the book, we go by the rule, and we think that Avea, together with the great access network that we are building for TT, are positioned to be the leaders in 4G in Turkey. But we will do it. We are committed to the investor to do it the smart way and the efficient way, and to make sure that as we're doing it, we are creating value.
Thank you very much.
Once again, please press star one if you want to ask a question. We appear to have no further questions, so please continue.
I believe there's no more questions tonight, so I thank everybody for joining us tonight and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect your lines. Thank you.